TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
'Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. I'm really excited for this week's show. I feel like it's definitely a new chapter because we are using some new technology on this show. We are using Skype, so I can actually see the reaction on Greg DeMarco's face every time I may belittle him or make him do something uncomfortable or awkward. So I feel like this show's automatically going to get 100% times better. I'm so excited that I just slurred all my words. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But we also have a fantastic show tonight. I actually have my first invited guest. Now, you may say, you know, hasn't Patrick been on the show before? He has. And Patrick O'Dowd is great, but he's also crashed my show. So he's crashed it. He's like, come uninvited. He was like tag along with Greg, like sneaking in, you know, the gate to try to get into this show. But that's okay. So this week we have an invited guest that I'm very excited to talk about and introduce. We also are going to be talking about Raw reunion that happened yesterday. Mentioned it a little bit last week. As you may all know, I'm a huge fan of nostalgia. Grew up with the Attitude Era, and I was really looking forward to watching Raw. And then we have a new segment this week that I will announce towards the end of the show, and I will we'll all talk about it, we'll all converse. But before we do that, I would like to introduce my co-host, the lovely Greg DeMarco.
I'm like the least important person here right now, though. So you don't need to worry about me.
Well, that's true. But I just want people to know that you're here.
I'm sitting back here.
Because you may come and also ask for things when I care about what you have to say. But I mean,
so
probably
once,
not.
Yeah.
Maybe like once.
Maybe twice.
Maybe once. Yeah. That's, I mean, he still has all the buttons. So that's why he still kind of
him
around for the button.
Sure do have all the buttons.
Yeah. But Greg's a good guy. He's a good guy. So you guys should have. Yeah, I like him. He's a nice guy. That's why you should follow him on Twitter, at ChairShotGray. Probably. He's now typing me because I probably said that incorrectly.
No, you're right. I'm asking a question of your esteemed guest.
Yes. Okay, so at ChairShot Greg, you can follow Greg on Twitter. He's a good guy. Follow him. Also, this show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network, so you can go visit thechairshot.com for all of your wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. I am in amazing company when it comes to podcasts on the ChairShot, so you can listen to Raw Reactions, The Greg DeMarco Show, lots of other fantastic, fantastic podcasts on the ChairShot Radio Network. So please do so. And you can also go visit ProWrestlingTees.com to get your hashtag soft style t-shirt. I didn't go through my full intro today. I think I forgot. I'm a little nervous. There's a lot going on today.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's a lot. But again, as the queen of hashtag soft style, you can go get all of your t-shirts in soft style at the chair or not the chair shot, at prowrestlingtees.com / the chair shot. You can find all the t-shirts there. The OG chair shot 316. Of course, hashtag save tag team wrestling. Baron Corbin sucks. I can list them all, but we'll run out of time. You know, it's just so many.
I just want to give you a hug right now. Like you're going so fast. It's okay. No, you got this. Killing it. You're doing great.
Let's take Amazing. A second. Calm down.
Breathe.
You know, again, I'm just so excited. This is going to be an amazing show, Greg. It's going to be amazing.
You have no idea. I have no idea.
No.
Nobody has any idea. It's gonna be May. It's July.
It's July, Greg. It's July. Yeah. Anyways, enough with the banter. I'd like to introduce my first invited guest on the hashtag Miranda Show. She is someone that was previously on the Greg DeMarco show a few weeks ago, and I felt very much a kindred spirit. She is a ring announcer from the New Orleans area, a ring announcer for Elevate Pro. I'd like to introduce everyone to Brittany Nicole.
It's a long intro. Just start talking.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Brittany. So this is the hashtag show. I warned you. I prepared you for this.
You did. You did prepare me for this. I was anticipating whatever song he was going to play. He was messaging me saying, like, I'm going to pick whatever song and you're going to hate it. And now I'm just waiting for this intro to be over to figure out what it is.
You know what song it is? Let me fast forward. It's still
kind of low. You can't hear it.
I'm like leaning into my. Yeah.
Can you still not hear it?
No, I can hear it now.
Okay. It was low on purpose. Yeah.
I get it now.
You get it now? Okay. I'm gonna lower
yes.
it.
Yes.
Do you hate can... it?
It's yes. not that she hates it. It goes back to something she specifically said about appearing on podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. This is actually the best podcast that I've been on, so no pressure.
I might be a little insulted because you came on mine, but just a little bit. It's okay, though.
I'm only saying that so that I just don't go full speed and like finish this in 20 seconds because I could do that with how fast I'd been talking recently. So, but welcome, Brittany. Again, very first invited guest. You're not crashing this podcast like everybody else does.
Woo!
So, I mean, you are a phenomenal ring announcer and host in the New Orleans area for Elevate Pro. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of how you really... like how you grew interested in professional wrestling, and which came first? Was it the hosting and then the ring announcing, or ring announcing and then hosting?
Really, I mean, it kind of just grew all together. New Orleans kind of just has a very dominant entertainment scene, obviously, because we're a tourist-based city, so we have a lot of entertainment. And I actually started out hosting, you know, drag shows and burlesque shows and cabaret shows. And that was something that I just did on the side as fun and entertainment. But I really wanted to get into wrestling and get into ring announcing and interviewing and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, you know, I lied and said that I could do it and just kind of taught myself on television by watching, you know, people like Lillian Garcia and stuff like that, and be like, okay, this is okay, I'm gonna learn how to do this. And of course, it's a lot harder than just watching on TV and going, okay, I'm gonna do this. But I got into ring announcing, and here a lot of the wrestling shows, the host and the ring announcer are the same person, so there's not separate entities. And so we really kind of just, I was just kind of thrown to the wolves at that point and was like, all right, figure it out. And of course, like, I'm sure if I ever, I'm really happy there's not video or like documentation somewhere of like my first several shows. But yeah, now I've finally gotten on the roll. And of course, obviously you're always getting better and always improving and everything, you know, changing little things here and there. But yeah, it really did start with just kind of like a, all right, get out there. Good luck.
Wrestling. I feel like that's a common element in wrestling, no matter what role you're in, whether it is an announcer, a referee, even an actual wrestler. After you've done even, you know, months and months of training, especially your first matches, is just go ahead and do it and figure it out as you go along. You mentioned about hosting for drag shows. Was there any elements of hosting in that environment that you brought to wrestling? And even, has there been element from your announcing that you brought into hosting for drag shows?
Yes, both, actually. Yeah, I bring a lot because it's to get the crowd pumped up and get them going and motivated, especially in the very beginning and stuff. I've brought a lot of my hosting techniques for cabaret shows. You know, of course, I keep it a little bit more PG because it's not an all adult audience most of the time. When it is sometimes an adult audience, then it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's great. I can say the F word and not get in trouble. But I know, right? It's so great. Yes, the entire
you can do that here as well. Just to clarify.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. Yeah. I didn't know. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna trip the line too. But yeah, the entire time in my head, every time I'm doing a wrestling show, I'm just always like, don't say fuck, don't say fuck, don't say fuck, don't say fuck. The entire time, and then I'm like, I did, yeah, in my head though, all the time.
Okay.
And so I bring a lot of that kind of amped upness and how to approach the audience to get them to get hyped and get excited. And now I've brought into my drag and hosting burlesque shows and stuff, I will always tell the audience, I'll be like, you know, my other job is I'm a ring announcer and interviewer for professional wrestling. And 9 times out of 10, there is some wrestling fans in the audience, and they'll cheer and everything. And then at the end of the show, they'll find me and corner me and ask me all of the wrestling questions in the world. And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. But I'll then usually introduce one of the performers as if it was a wrestling match. And so I'll end up introducing one of them. And if it's a burlesque performance, it'll be, you know, the following strip is scheduled for one fall and I'll continue on, you know, or if it's drag, you know, the following lip sync is scheduled for one fall, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, and then I'll say where they're from, their taglines, and then make a big deal out of their names. And I'll always tell the crowd, I'm like, so I need you to be like a wrestling crowd. I need you to hoot and holler and yell. And I'll tell them, I'll be like, can you give me a hell yeah? And the crowd will be like, hell yeah. You know, so that kind of stuff. So it's so great to merge all of that kind of stuff together and just pick things out. I mean, I'm sure, like, even just doing ring announcing, you've found ways too to pull different aspects of from entertainment and from your life and stuff to put into your ring announcing and into stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also part of just pulling out your personality and what makes you distinct and what makes you unique in yourself. That's a big thing I've heard a lot. And when I've asked for guidance and feedback or just, you know, opinions, it's find your voice, find, you know, your comfort level, find what makes you you. And I can absolutely see how that makes you just a standout announcer and host. And also, I mean, I've gone to drag shows before and there has not been enough hell yeahs. So now my expectation of my next drag show is going to be elevated.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Because I'm going to expect that host to announce just like you, or just to be like, give me a hell yeah. You know, I love it. And I do think I need to ask that more of my hosts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's not enough other like performer and hosts in the other aspects of the entertainment world that shout that out. I want to hear it at like a ballet recital. Like I want
my server maybe to do that. I want, you know, maybe a teacher to start off a class like that. Like, are you all ready to be taught? Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. I want to walk into like a yoga class and for like instead of like at the end when they're like namaste, I want them to be like hell yeah.
Right, bringing wrestling into everyday life, it's the best thing. And so that's overall, I mean, I think it's phenomenal that you have both of those amazing talents and being able to incorporate it, because I'm sure too it just adds something to your announcing and it gets the crowd hyped up in ways. And also, you know, you look at ring announcers around, in especially in bigger platforms and other promotions, and you know, they're very traditional. That is something that I'm trying to work through, is getting out of my shell to have more personality. How do you hype yourself up before an event? You know, is there any kind of ritual that you do, or good luck charm, superstition that maybe you follow that I may be able to incorporate in my own world?
You mean like just panicking and rocking in the corner and screaming inside my head?
I do that too. In my head is don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up, don't mess up. That's literally in my head.
That's not the word you use.
Yeah.
I don't use that word.
I used up all the fucks for the show, I think.
No, already. There's plenty.
No, there's plenty to go around.
There's lots.
There's lots to go around.
Yeah, I've gotten over the whole don't mess up thing, because I watched, and if this helps you, I don't know if it, I mean, it sounds horrible. It sounds like some weird, like, Schadenfreude thing to do, but, like, I've watched a lot of blooper reels of big announcers like Lillian Garcia and stuff like that, like, actually, like, messing up horribly, either saying somebody's name or not the right person, or falling down the ramp several times in her entrance when she's coming out. Like, I've watched several people do really big things like that, and I'm like, okay, if they can mess up and still keep a job, I can mess up every now and then and still keep a job. Like, I'm human. Like, that's what you get. It's live. It's real. Like, and so I've kind of gotten over that a little bit, to the point where I'm like, okay, I know my stuff. Like, I know, if I need I write out my cards, and if I need my cards, I have them there, like on the table. And so if I'm like, I'm kind of unsure about this, you know, 6-man tag, I really want to have my card with me in case I forget somebody's, then I take it up with me and have it, you know, wrapped around my mic so that I can look at it in between entrances. But most of the time I try to remember the people, so I don't bring the cards with me. But I have like this weird, so Dusty Rose is an idol of mine, and I have this lipstick that's called Dusty Rose. But if you say it like you talk like Dusty Rhodes, and you call it Dusty Rhodes, it sounds just like Dusty Rhodes, baby. So So that's my lipstick that I go to for the most part, depending on where I'm at. But like, if I'm in new territory and I'm in a new space and I'm nervous, I always wear that lipstick, and I'm always just like, okay, what would Dusty do? Like, so that's my one little like superstition thing, is I have that lipstick. But other than that, I just kind of be like, okay, I'm human. Like, I'm going to be okay. If I keep my head clear and just kind of be in the moment, I can improv in case anything happens. Like, you know, I've had it where the sound system's completely gone out and there's no music for people's entrances. And so I literally just started stomping on the mat and did the whole queen, like stomp, stomp, clap, stomp, stomp, clap. And the audience started doing it, and the people came out to that, and they loved it. Like, so
that's some good thinking on your feet. That's I think that can be hard to do in the middle of the ring when you're worried about, you know, what you're going to announce or everything, just to be able to think quickly about, yeah, if the music goes out, if something happens with the lights, if something, you know, someone in the crowd says something dumb, still being able to move forward and do your job.
Oh yeah. And it's really hard. We, a couple shows ago, during one of the matches, the crowd just started chanting my name and I was just like, no, 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 no. And they just kept going. And I was like, oh, dear. I was like,
you're too over. You're too over. This is where it all goes downhill. You got too over.
They were like, they were chanting, we want Britney. And I was like, y'all, I don't wrestle. Do not put me in this. I was like, you're going to get me in trouble. Stop it.
Do you get asked a lot, even by probably the wrestlers that you work with? Have you ever considered to wrestle? Have you ever wanted to train to wrestle?
I get asked a lot. And weirdly enough, I get asked a lot by promotions when I send them my reels and I send them everything. They're like, that's cool. You're a wrestler and a ring announcer. And I'm like,
nah,
where did you get? Did I send you a wrestling reel? did I miss
that
part?
Is that easy to get booked as a wrestler where you're like, I didn't show you any wrestling, but you want me to wrestle?
You've been to shows in Tucson, right?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, it's somewhere. Like, it's literally almost every single, like, time that I send out a reel, people will be like, oh, so you're a worker and you can ring announce. I'm like, no, 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 no. And it's really, but it's one of those things of like, I have considered it, you know, I do have some training because in the state of Louisiana, we are a licensed state. So we're not like the Wild Wild West. We have a commissioner and you have to get a license and you have to be licensed by the state and pay money and blah, 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 blah. And the referees, the managers, the ring announcers, they all have to have some training and most of them have licenses. So it's in the state of Louisiana, if you touch the ring, you basically have to have a license. And they're very strict about it because they want their money, very much so. Yeah. And so it's one of those things of like, I can do a few things, you know, I don't like bumping. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. If the story called for it, I'm sure I could, but you know, I can lock up, I can chain, I can follow those kind of things. So I can do small things, but I'm not looking to, I'm looking to use like my voice and my skills on the mic and stuff instead of beating my body at this point. Like I'm 30 at this point. So I'm trying to like not do that. And when I was 19, I thought in my mind, I was like, I'm going to move to Florida and become a wrestler. And I moved to New Orleans and I was like, close enough.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to have a longer career probably as a ring announcer than you would as a wrestler.
Right. So, exactly.
Longevity. You're thinking about the big picture. And I totally know what you mean about the commission. I started off announcing in New Mexico that is regulated. However, they didn't have that requirement for ring announcers. It was only for the referees and for the workers. But I don't know if they do this for the women in Louisiana, but they did require New Mexico. If you were female in wrestling, you had to take a pregnancy test. And so the amount of time to show that you weren't pregnant. So the amount of times I've seen people hand, you know, female wrestlers a pregnancy test and the look on their face of like, why are you handing this to me? A few times I thought it was like, is this a storyline? Like, what are we doing here? Until I figured out like, oh no, it's part of the process to wrestle there.
That's a new one for me. That is, wow, New Mexico, you're stepping it up. Yeah, no, I didn't, no, they never, I think it'd be, I would be hilarious if the commissioner here, because it's like this really, his name's Russ, and he's like pretty older guy, you know, there's two commissioners, and one of them is Russ, and then the other one is his brother, and so, you know, yeah, talk about There's no such thing as corruption in Louisiana. and yeah, I think it'd be hilarious to see him just randomly hand someone a pregnancy test. But no, that is definitely not a thing here. But I definitely don't want to tell them in case they want to try to add that.
Oh, into the mix. I think you're the only person from Louisiana who actually listens to the show, so you're fine. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think anyone's running to him anytime soon and telling him anything.
And
so it's fine.
People think New Mexico is Mexico, so that also helps.
Just the newer part.
Yeah, just the newer part. So,
really?
That confusion. Yes, that confusion has happened a handful of times when I lived there. Like, oh wow, what's it like over there? You know, is it, you know, does everyone speak English? You speak really well for someone who lives in New Mexico. I'm like, what does that mean?
Our education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top notch.
Public education. Woo!
I do want to ask, and we did this bit on the Greg DeMarco show a few weeks ago where we played a game of musical chairs, where Greg was kind of this puppet master behind the scenes. Based off of an interesting experience you had in the ring, with the game of musical chairs. Was that kind of the strangest experience you've had in the ring, or were there other, instances where you had kind of a, maybe an interesting interaction with a wrestler or something that just happened in the ring that you're like, wait, did that just happen?
I've been really fortunate to work with some really awesome people, and the chair thing was, I mean, that was the most, I think that was the most physical interaction, like moving around the chairs and like being in an actual like kind of segment like that, whereas most of the time it's either the heel coming after me or yelling at me or ripping the mic out of my hand, or like if you're, you know, Lance Hoyt, you've shove me against the ropes and you're like towering over me while you're dripping wet with water and it's all going to my face and I'm like, my makeup is ruined. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm gonna find
so
you
much
later, and I'm gonna, in the ring you're scared, but in the back you're like, let me find you because no one touches my makeup. Like,
exactly. I was like, I'm so glad I had set like a setting spray on it, and I was just like slowly like dabbing my face, trying to get all like lovely. Like, we weren't even through like halfway of the show. I'm like, please don't let me look like a mess for the rest of this show because of him. But I would say, like, one time I was doing a show and I'm out there with our general manager, and then Ron Simmons comes out. And because he was on the card, and he comes out, and I was very excited to work with him and everything like that. And then Teddy Long comes out. And so then we all just start dancing in the ring randomly, just like out of the blue. Teddy was like, we're going to do this. And so we all start doing the little Teddy dance, and we start dancing to the side, and we dance to this side, and we're dancing to this side. And then we didn't know how to end it or like where to go after that, because there was supposed to be a match. But we're all just kind of bouncing in the ring up and down, and we're like waiting for like the heel to come out to kind of cut us off. But like their cue isn't happening. So we're all just kind of bouncing in the ring like do, 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 do. I've had to do squats in the ring before too. There's these two amazing people. there's these two amazing Fabulous Fitness, and they're out of Florida, and the Fabulous Fitness, Kiki Roberts, he literally was having us all do squats. And so like, he was like, come on, let's do it. So we were doing squats in the ring, and there's a picture of me at one point just like doing squats in the ring. And I have like a big smile on my face, and the referee is standing there staring at me, just like looking at me like, what are you doing? I was like, why didn't you do the squats with me? Because
right. What? Like, usually refs go along with what the ring announcer is doing.
Right. No, he was just standing there, just staring at me like, what? What are you? The picture is just a mess. It does not look like I'm doing squats. That's for sure. But yeah, I would have to say, I mean, yeah, those are the weirdest things. I mean, I love the interaction with the wrestlers. I love it when they interact with me. I love being a part of the story. I love being able to help tell the story and help be part of the process to guide people into the direction of either loving or hating them and pulling from all that. I've had my chair at my table ripped away from me way too many times to the point where, like, at some points I just have to stand along the rails with the fans because, like, I no longer have a chair because it's been being used and or being destroyed. So that's – and I still to this day have not taught myself to make sure there's a backup chair, but I've really got to start doing that.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the learning process.
Yes.
But it's also a big sign, too, that that interaction – is a level of trust and that they trust that, you know, you can help share that story or help convey who they are. And I think that's the amazing thing about ring announcing is you truly are part of the story. You are that storyteller. You help convey things even by the tone of your voice and in the little things that you do or the interactions, it's amazing. So it sounds like those are all, I mean, yeah, to have to do squats in the middle of the ring or to dance in the middle of the ring with Teddy and Ron Simmons, like, yeah, I'm sure if that was me, like, 10-year-old me would be freaking out.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Recently I ring announced and I got to announce Gangrel and I was just like, I used to watch you all the time. I was like, he did the blood spit. It like splattered all over my papers that were at the table and like all over my like note cards. And I was like, I'm saving these forever.
Forever. Forever. I mean, my most interesting interaction, and I'm just going to just say how it went. Angelina Love slapped my ass. That happened at an event about 2 years ago in New Mexico. And part of it was my fault as far as timing of entrance and of the ring. I was leaving and she was coming into the ring. And I actually walked backwards because I was wearing shoes that I thought was going to make me fall over. So I thought, let me walk backwards. And I didn't notice her. And she just walked, pow, got me on the ass. And I was shocked, but oddly honored.
Because as you should be, yes.
Yeah. I think, like, if she's part of Allure, the beautiful people, I mean, she's not going to slap it if she didn't like it, so.
Exactly. Yeah, I had, after some of our shows, there's always, like, a after party at one of the bars that, like, sponsors the events and stuff, and so we always go out, and there's pizza and stuff like that, and the fans can come and hang out with all of us, and yada, yada, yada. And one time, Soraya Knight was with us, and she definitely, like, I don't know if she had a few drinks yet, but she definitely, like, was grabbing my ass a lot, and I was like, oh, hi, okay,
you know. Yeah, it's like, all right, you know, I mean, I'd take it as a compliment.
I did. I was like, you know, I'm like, you can grab my ass. I was like, that's fine. I was like, you're the only person in this wrestling business that can do that.
Exactly. I did have to do a disclaimer afterwards to be like, don't think that this is an invitation. Like, she's a legend. She can do that. But it is not an open invitation for anybody else to do that. And
exactly.
Luckily, everybody listened. So, yeah, when those unexpected things happen, it's very cool. But especially with people that you grew up watching or you admire, that's the awesome thing when you have those interactions. So, yeah, that sounds so much fun. New Orleans just sounds like a fun town to announce, to work in. So I am beyond envious. If anything, I think that it really makes for some interesting, you know, opportunities and promotions out there. There was recently an announcement that you shared on social media regarding the future of the promotion that you work with, Elevate Pro, as far as an upcoming event that's going to be happening this fall.
Yes. So Elevate Pro is basically connected to St. Bernard Parish, which is basically the suburb of New Orleans. Like, I live 5 minutes away from it, from the place it is. And it's the Civic Center. It's the Frederick J. Seeger Civic Center, and it's where Mid-South used to host all of their shows in the 80s. And it's where Junkyard Dog used to be seen, and like Cowboy Bill Watts and the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express. And then ECW used to hold their shows there as well when they traveled. And then after, you know, ECW fizzled out, it honestly, the Civic Center just stopped being a place, because WWE would only go to, you know, the Superdome or the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. And then for Baton Rouge, they would go up to the Cajun Dome and everything like that. And, or Lafayette Cajun Dome. And so it fizzled out, and there's only been little wrestling shows in like junior highs and gyms and high schools and all that stuff. And we finally sat down with the St. Bernard president, President McGinnis, and he loved the idea of bringing wrestling back, because he remembered it from watching it as a kid and seeing it at the Civic Center. And so he has given Elevate Pro the Civic Center to start producing shows in again. So we're going to start making our Elevate Pro shows starting October 12th with our 4-year anniversary show, which is Ultimate Valor 3, and start making these big shows. So I'm really excited for the Civic Center, because it has so much history. You know, Mid-South was there. It had such a big, you know, pool. And so we're going to bring in some good people and some fun events. And we've got, the lineup hasn't been completely announced yet, so I'm really excited to have us all announce that. But yeah, we have that. And we actually got television for St. Bernard Parish as well. We're going to be on our local St. Bernard Parish television every Thursday at 8 p.m. So it's going to be this whole, like, it's all going to be connected. So Elevate Pro, even though it's only been around for 3 years, has really stepped it up to try to bring wrestling back to the rest of New Orleans and the surrounding cities in Louisiana, because other than WWE, there's really been nothing since the territories went away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big advocate of wrestling fans knowing about their local promotions. I think it's easy for someone to go on social media and criticize WWE or AEW or even Ring of Honor and Impact. Mm-hmm. But you can really make an impact in your own community by supporting your local wrestling promotion, by going to their shows, by, you know, supporting the wrestlers who are local or travel to come through there. And maybe WWE isn't producing the product that you want, but maybe your own local promotion is doing cool things. And the ability to be so up close to the action and so close to, you know, seeing fantastic wrestling, is something that I think people really miss out on and is very underappreciated. A lot of times I'll see wrestling fans at just WWE shows and wonder, you know, why do they not know about local wrestling? Or, you know, is it just that they're just a fan of WWE? But I think that local promotions just tend to happily surprise wrestling fans, that they have matches that people want to see, personalities that people want to see. And eventually, as those people move up in the world where they may, you know, go to different promotions and do other things, they can always say, I knew that person when I saw them when they were in that auditorium or, you know, at that venue. And
right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is like a lot of, you know, I think it is a lot of people don't know that there's independent wrestling in every single town, in every single city. Like, there is something. Like, if you're saying that, oh, no, there isn't in my town, or oh, there isn't in my city, like, you're not looking, because there's multiples. I mean, I was looking to book shows, and I was like, I'm going to go to Florida and do, like, a little circuit and book shows. There's like 80 some promotions in Florida alone. And that's just the ones I looked up. Like, and that's not even all of them. And it's so fascinating when people don't know, and they, you know, and that's the thing too, is that a lot of these wrestlers that you love, like, whether it's people from Ring of Honor or people from, you know, AEW or WWE or like Hall of Famers and all that stuff, most of them get booked on a lot of these shows. and you'll never get a chance going to a WWE show unless you pay so much money to interact with them and take pictures with them and get autographs with them, you know, after the show and get that close. It's a rarity with WWE to get those kind of interactions unless it's like WrestleMania and Access and stuff. So for you to go to an indie show and be able to see new talent and see aspiring, you know, performances and see all of these innovative things and follow their kind of creative storylines, and then also get to see some of, you know, the people you remember watching as a kid or people that, you know, you're big fans of, and get closer to them than you ever would at another like big show, that it's silly to not try to look that up and try to find those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely right. And even, yeah, you're right about the cost, you're right about the variety out there, and it's, yeah, it's silly if you don't know. So you can do a quick internet search to see where
Google
your local... Yeah, Google it. Literally, it's a thing. Google it. You'll be better for it. I do want to quickly segue, even though I just said about supporting, you know, your local promotions, to the powerhouse that is WWE. That's a Raw reunion. Actually, I had a really nice Facebook post, and you probably had it on Twitter as well, but I'm not on Twitter, so I don't see it. But I saw your Facebook post about watching the Raw reunion with your mom, that you're texting each other about it. And, you know, that I think is awesome that you're able to do that with your mom. I had to explain to my mom last week what podcasting was, so that was interesting. I had to explain to her what I called me. As Greg teased me the other day, my mom called me last week during the show a few times. And I'm panicking, like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I talked to her, and she's like, yeah, I'm fine. So, Mom, I'm busy. She's like, what? Doing what? I'm like, I'm doing my podcast. About what? It's about wrestling, Mom. And it just was a... and then cute thing, she called me today. She called me yesterday. She's like, I wanted to make sure to call you today and not tomorrow so that I don't interrupt you on your podcast. Aww. Sweet lady. I think she's almost embarrassed of what I do on Tuesday night. She doesn't want anyone to know that her daughter has a wrestling podcast.
My mom definitely listened to, she recently just listened to when I was on Greg DeMarco's show. So my mom likes listening to those. She's really into just anything. That sounds so narcissistic, but she's my mom. She's into listening to anything that involves me.
Hey, but, well, shout out to Brittany's mom. If you listen to this one, that will make you another listener. Shout out to all the moms out there. But it's just, yeah, if you have a family, your mom, who can you have? If your mom doesn't support you, what can you do?
Exactly. And she, you know, so she watched wrestling back when she was younger. She used to watch big time wrestling, like every Saturday up in Ohio, they would watch big time wrestling and play cards. And so when I was younger, of course, I grew up in the Attitude Era. And so watching this, she used to watch it with me when I was young, you know, me and my boy cousins, because I only had boy cousins, me and my boy cousins watched wrestling and then would try to act out the moves and my mom would yell at us but she would watch. And so she was like, I'm going to watch it. And so the whole time she's texting me back and forth. Like when Ric Flair came on, she just texts me, woo. And I was like, oh, my mom's really into it right now. And then when Stone Cold, she was so excited for Stone Cold Steve Austin, cause that was a big thing. And that I was so excited for it too. He just looked so happy in the ring and I was elated. And my mom texts me, hell yeah. When he was like, give me a hell yeah. My mom texts me, hell yeah. And she got to see the newer wrestlers too. Like she texts me when Natty gave that line to Becky, you know, I'm going to pull the horseshoe out of your ass. My mom literally texted me that and was like, that's so funny. I'm like, oh Lord. I'm like, my mom, I was like, she just kept texting me things that she was so excited about. And she was like, wait, she's like, was that Pat Patterson backstage? I'm like, yeah. She's like, and I had to explain the 24/7 championship to her because, like, this is literally the first wrestling show she's watched since when we watched WrestleMania together. So she's
like, that must have been a long text to be like, so this is a 24/7 title.
I was like, okay. So I just like speak texted it, and I was like, okay, I hope you figure this out. I'm not even proofreading it. Bye.
But it seems like in some ways then it did its job bringing back some older fans or just fans who haven't watched wrestling before. I think that was a, you know, really big element to it. How did you enjoy it as kind of a current fan?
I loved it. I got really angry, and I had to like, I started like tweeting something, and then I really deleted it, and then I would tweet it again, and I'm like, no, and I delete it, and because I saw so many people like hating on it, and I just wanted to be like, you don't understand. I'm like, you guys just hate everything. I was just like, ah, I just was so mad. And then I was like, no, 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 no. I'm like, stay calm. Just watch the show. I'm like, don't let them get to you. Don't let them see you cry. But I, you know, from the opening, you know, like, and the fact that the crowd like cheered for John Cena and was so happy. And like, you know, the Usos coming out and then Rikishi and then just watching it go from there. The Godfather segment was great. You know, the fact that he couldn't say Ho Train and the audience had to say it. And he just, you know, I'm like, oh, we're still kind of in the PG era. We're we're on that fine ed. Yeah.
Yeah. Even who was it that came out? Bro Dog, when he was doing the welcome, oh, you didn't know?
He
couldn't see your ass. He just, you know, took that out. And I'm like, okay, so yeah, this is the era we live in. We can't even say the word ass. But hey, fair enough. It's still a good intro. I don't care what anybody said.
Still
one of the best intros out there. He doesn't even need to say the word ass. So, I was overall a really big fan of the show as well. I know that probably some of the negative comments about the show were maybe related to putting some of the newer guys over. There wasn't a lot of instances of interactions between newer wrestlers and some of the older wrestlers. But I do think that the interactions that they did have were really good. I was a huge, huge fan of the Mick Foley, Bray Wyatt interaction.
Yes.
I loved that. I thought that was done really well. And I think that that made it stand out as one of the best interactions on there. Whereas maybe if you had too many interactions, it would have gotten lost. But that interaction, especially him, Bray Wyatt using the mandible claw on Mick Foley, is some deep stuff. Like I loved it.
It was great. It was almost like a passing of the torch kind of thing. I do believe it was really a great passing of the torch. And I also just loved the backstage, like the backstage segments is where I mean, Kelly is the first female 24/7 champion, and then we had a slight intergender wrestling there for a second when she took it off of Frisco.
Whatever. I don't even know what you call that. That's not even wrestling. That's
just, no. It was more of a mugging, but I mean, like, it was just she straight up was like, she was from New Orleans. She straight up was like, welcome to New Orleans. Give me that title.
Yeah. It's mine now.
I loved all of it, and I think, you know, the people that got mad saying there wasn't enough interaction between the old and the new, I think it was as much as they possibly could fit in that played well with storylines, because the thing is you're not going to cram all of these people in and continue it on with the storyline, because you're not going to have these people come back every week. You're not going to have them come back and be involved in stuff. I mean, they're already having that with like Taker and stuff like that. So you're not going to have, you know, especially like you're not going to have Kelly come back and defend her 24/7 championship, you know, and all that kind of stuff, or try to get it back from R-Truth, you know. So it's one of those things of like it did what it needed to do, and it was, I think it was just wonderful. I think people got mad because it was just a wonderful one-off where they're like, this is what we're doing. Here you go. Like, thank you, fans. You're welcome. Here's some nostalgia. And it made people mad because they're like, but what's the point of this? And yeah. It's like, the point is to have fun if that's what you've forgotten how to do. Yeah. But the point is to have fun and enjoy all of
it. Sports entertainment. Heavy on the entertainment.
What?
Very heavy on, yeah. To sports entertainment. Now, I will tell you this. There was two things that, well, one thing that happened and one thing that didn't. Both that I expected, and I'm glad that at least one of them happened so that I wasn't raging. I don't rage on Twitter, so I would just yell at my TV. Just, you know, the good old-fashioned way. I am glad. I was going to yell if Ted DiBiase did not buy the 24/7 title. The moment I knew he was going to be on there, mm-hmm. I needed him to buy the belt. I just needed that. I knew it was going to happen, and I needed it to happen, and I'm glad that he didn't disappoint with that. The second one that I think this also circulated around that didn't happen, that did make me a little disappointed based off of current storylines, is no interaction between Stone Cold and Kevin Owens.
And yeah.
I think that they had a really good opportunity to do some kind of interaction that was almost just like a nudge, like just giving him the rub a bit with his program with Shane. And because he is already using the stunner, there's already the parallels that are happening there. Mm-hmm. That if they would have had some brief interaction of Steve even just giving him like the blessing, the okay, you know, the sign of the cross, like you can do this, then I think people would have been like, cool, like that's awesome. Now we can really, you know, put our support behind him or whatnot. And I think people still support Kevin regardless. But that is one interaction that was somewhat hyped up that people thought could happen, that I started to believe as well, that didn't, that I wish. It could have been kind of a missed opportunity. But overall, I mean, I thought it was a pretty well put together show for the amount of people that they had. So, and it yes. seems to do well in the ratings. Greg is our kind of a ratings aficionado. Greg, do you know if there was a rise in the Raw ratings for this week?
I can find out. Hang on, let me look. So let me take a look here.
How are you not prepared with this?
Yeah, great.
I'm just mesmerized of doing this show. And yeah, you just have no idea. So let's see here. Because I don't like to use the wrestling news ratings. No, Raw, of course, was number one, number two, and number three. Viewers for each hour, 1.2, 1.1, 1.1, 18 to 49 rating. I mean, it was...
pretty solid.
An amazing Sounds success. Solid. Yeah, I mean, the next closest being Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta did a 0.8. And of course, Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta is like Raw's rival for the ratings, which is kind of funny.
I mean, it's a pretty solid show. It's a solid show. I've been saying that to Greg Never and Patrick forever.
Never seen it.
I've been telling them that. That's who they need to do.
Seventh, by the way. Came in seventh was Miz and Mrs. Sneak Peek, which that show does way better than a lot of people think. It does better than Total Divas and Total Bellas has done as well. That show's underrated. I watch it. That show, I love watching Miz and Mrs. Actually, I'll admit that one. I won't admit any of the other ones, but I will admit that one.
Fair enough. But it seems like it did a good job. It was a success show. It did help in ratings. Whether that was the true intention or not, I'm not here, you know. I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, I'm sure that does help. And it did get some people over. It was a good way to bring in some fans who had been out of the loop for a while, and current fans got what they wanted by seeing Legends. So maybe it's not in the neatest package that you would have hoped, but the best that I think that they could do with what they had.
Yeah, I agree. Even though it's 3 hours long, it's still not long enough when they have that many people crammed into that kind of little area and be like, okay, you're going to be in this storyline and you're going to be in this storyline and you're going to, you know, it's still a lot of people to cram into 3 hours. And I mean, you know, a lot of people didn't even know who Caitlyn was because she looked so different.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, who's that? Who's that? You know? And it was something that they didn't actually even get to announce everyone they had. You know, you just slowly like got a pan of people, like, and you're like, you had to point them out and be like, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, that's, you know, like you didn't even get some of their names because it was so chaos when it came to the amount of people they had backstage.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And even the names that they did announce, some got lost in the mix. You know, some people got variance in airtime, but I think overall, it was a great show. So I'm curious if they'll do this again, maybe annually, maybe twice a year. Maybe they'll do something similar on SmackDown when they move to Fox in October. Who knows? But it was an experiment that I think overall paid off. And it seemed like people were, you know, not only the fans, but the wrestlers were genuinely happy to see each other again. You said,
yes,
like, talking about Stone Cold, he truly looked happy. I'm not used to seeing him happy unless he's stunning someone.
Yes, so, exactly.
So that was a little weird for me, but he was genuinely happy and people, you know, it is a family, I'm sure. And they don't get the opportunity to see each other and the opportunity to be together all at once. So even if it's not always for the fans, if it's a little bit for them, that's okay. The fans are still going to benefit no matter what, happens. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with the Raw in the future. I don't know. Maybe you get spoiled and we get so used to seeing these people where we want to see them more that then a few months from now, those same people who were complaining about Raw are they're going to say, when are they going to do another Raw reunion? I put
never. Money at that. They're always going to be bitter.
Ooh, bitter. Bitter boys. Bitter boys. So I want to introduce my new segment. For the show, we'll see, you know, how this goes, but everyone knows I'm definitely a fan of the wild card, not necessarily the wild card rule, but of the wild card. Wild card, bitches! Yeah! I'm also a fan of just randomness, so this ties in perfectly. I'm introducing the wild card topic of the week, and this is a random topic that I hope to keep wrestling related, but may not always be. And something that Greg doesn't know, Brittany doesn't know, just something that I came to mind. And it usually will be just a question or maybe just a news story to share and everyone can share their thoughts. This may be a little bit of a roundabout story, but I'll get there. So I want to start off this story. I actually got this from that's not used very often on the chair shot. This is from bloodydisgusting.com, which is a site dedicated to horror and sci-fi TV and movies and video games. I used to visit the site all the time. And this is on a lot of their outlets as well. This is the one I'm citing for today. Mattel reportedly mashing together Ghostbusters and WWE superstars for new toy. So a few days ago in Los Angeles, there was an event called the Ghostbusters Fan Fest. And during that event, they announced that Ghostbusters franchise would be joining forces with WWE for a new toy line. This came out in a picture of essentially the Ghostbusters gang, I would say casted by or redone as WWE superstars. So the series will consist of Stone Cold Steve Austin, John Cena, The Rock, and Shawn Michaels, and a glow-in-the-dark Undertaker, which take my money. All you need to tell me was glow-in-the-dark Undertaker, and I was done. But they have promo art, and they even had, I believe, some pictures of the actual Mattel figures out there. And this got me thinking, if, you know, we are now at the time of reboots and remakes. And this is kind of an interesting example of mashup slash possible reboot of a movie with WWE characters. So my question to you guys this week is, if you were to reboot or remake a TV show or a movie, could be from any promotion, would you use to cast that? Another example that came to mind, too, was an Instagram post from Braun Strowman with him and Drake Maverick. I believe Drake Maverick's wedding, where Braun is kind of holding him prom style to his back. Mentioned the word twins, the movie Twins. And I thought, man, if they were to remake Twins, they would be the perfect people to cast in that. Size-wise, personality, all of that. So that's kind of my thought on that. I don't know if either of you have any ideas of who you would cast in reboot or remake.
The first idea of a remake comes to mind would be Golden Girls.
So good. That's genius. I can't wait to hear this.
I just think, you know, and I mean, I feel like if we use the Face app on Total Divas, it could be Golden Girls. But I want to cast Golden Girls like with male wrestlers. And I definitely think, I mean, you know, Rick.
Yes.
Yes. Play it. This is perfect.
Sorry, I turned it down so you could talk. I'll turn it back up.
Oh, okay. I was wondering. I didn't know who was going to fade out or anything like that. I definitely think, of course, I want Ric Flair as Sophia. I want the Godfather to be Blanche.
Ooh, yes. That's a good one. Good choice.
Oh, that's good.
I honestly think that because, you know, Bea Arthur was so great at playing Dorothy and being so bitter and angry, I have to say Dolph Ziggler is going to be Dorothy. Just from his character that he's playing right now, currently, yeah. Being all bitter and angry, I think that Dolph Ziggler is going to be Dorothy. And for Rose, I would probably have to cast Drake Maverick. That's my cast. Yes. But yeah, that's my cast. And of course, you know, there's a bevy of other characters that come in, like, you know, who, you know, we could definitely have, you know, Drake's wife come in and be, you know, his ex-wife from the country, you know, where from.
I just need to watch so many episodes of The Golden Girls. I haven't watched that show in years. And
no one has.
It's just reminding me of some of the best humor out there, especially for the time that it was out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely going to be on my list of TV shows to binge.
I just, in my mind right now, I'm just thinking about them all sitting around like a dining room table eating cheesecake together. Just Drake Maverick, Dolph Ziggler, Ric Flair, and Ron, and just all our Godfather, just all around the corner. And then their next door neighbors come in, and it's just other bevies of random wrestlers that just, you could do this also with, like, I don't know, Family Ties or like Brady Bunch. Yeah.
Greg, so, I'm interested in hearing what your
movie would be. I've decided to remake Shrek. So we're gonna remake Shrek. So Shrek himself is going to be Braun Strowman.
Of course, yes.
Donkey, of course, his perfect little sidekick. I was trying to be different, but I couldn't. So Donkey did end up being Drake Maverick because that was just too perfect. Sticking with the closest wrestling connection possible, Princess Fiona would have to be Alexa Bliss, based on their tag team they've had in the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Puss in Boots, I thought it would be kind of ironically funny, and just being who I am, I made that Jinder Mahal just because I am me. So, and because, you know, Donkey falls in love with the dragon, we could make the dragon Renee Michelle if we really wanted to. Maybe we'll just make the dragon the 24/7 championship. And then the three blind mice can be AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and maybe they'll be the three little pigs. I don't know. But AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson can do that. And then Lord Farquaad would have to be Vince McMahon, of course.
Yes.
Because it just makes perfect sense. And then the fairy godmother, or excuse me, Prince Charming later. Maybe I'll go like Seth Rollins. No, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch can be Jack and Jill from a future episode. And yeah, I'm just trying to think of who else they could throw out there to be that. Pinocchio could be Sami Zayn, maybe, or Kevin Owens. Chris Jericho. Pinocchio could be Chris Jericho. And that would work as well. I could go on all day, but I think that's going to be all of them. I've hit enough characters.
That's a good Shrek. It's a good cast. It's a good cast. I'm surprised you didn't cast R-Truth as Donkey. And
that's a good one.
Yeah. R-Truth could really be in all of these. Yes. I mean, his comedic timing and his comedic ability is stuff that is actually like really good, you know, for a non-actor.
I love it.
I mean, sure, I think he does comedy in ways that actual actors wish that they could execute.
R-Truth could be Rose, definitely.
Yes.
As a former stand-up comic, like, I think R-Truth would be an amazing stand-up comedian. I think he would be hilarious on stage and probably would be jealous of him, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. He could be a talented wrestler and funny. That's not fair. That's not fair.
Nope. Not allowed.
Not allowed, apparently. He took all the talent. I started to try and ramble off like maybe a remake of Parks and Rec. You know, and maybe like Andy as R-Truth and then I started to I stopped there because then I was just imagining all the funny things would do there.
How did you not do It's Always Sunny for your first ever wild card segment? Wild card, bitches! I mean, come on.
Well, that's a good point. So let's see. So, Mac, oh my God, that would be a hard one to do almost just because his character changes every season. With Dennis, I'm thinking maybe Dolph Ziggler because he has a little bit of that kind of darker side to him. Charlie probably could be R-Truth or Drake Maverick because he was kind of dumb. That's a good one. Maybe someone random like Natalia. Like, people just constantly make fun of her for no reason, and she's actually the voice of reason, and everyone else around her is just crazy. That could be a good one. Frank, who could play Danny DeVito?
Only Danny DeVito.
DeVito. I have a hard time trying to find the right match for Danny DeVito. That's really
Paul Heyman.
Ooh, Paul Heyman's good for the look. Yeah, I think Drake could do that as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm still thinking about Drake as the gingerbread man for Shrek.
Yes. Man, all roads lead to R-Truth and Drake Maverick.
Yes.
But I think that's a good sign that they really like made the 24/7 title chase their own, and they've made it part of the most memorable elements of Raw. So they may not be doing some technical masterpieces in the ring, but they are people who we're constantly talking about and bringing up in conversation. And at the end of the day, that's not bad either. That's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So we've made it. We made it to the finish line, ladies and gentlemen. Another crazy episode of the hashtag Miranda Show. We did it. Brittany Nicole, thank you so much for being on our show. Can you please let our lovely audience know more about where they can find you?
Oh my God. Thank you so much. You can find me at www.lookitsbrittany.com. That's LOOKITSBRITTANI.com. And it has all my social media. I'm on Twitter under Look It's Brittany. I'm on Instagram. on the Brittany Nicole, but if you go to my website, you'll find all the things you can, all the clicky things. You can click on all the things and find all the places. So that's where I am. But I really, this was so much fun to be able to do. And I like this new Skype feature because we can see each other. You guys can't see us, but we can see, and it's added an even better element. And next time I come back, we can do actual musical chairs.
Because
I'm coming for that. I'm coming for that
you
title.
Made my day. Yeah, I got songs you don't even know about.
I don't
know. That's a good musical chair song. That's not a good musical chair song.
It's a song that starts and stops. That's all you need for musical chairs.
Yeah, I just feel like that alludes to other things. That is really, that's a weird musical chair. People are going to wonder what we're doing when they can't see.
We've gone so soft. Seriously, we've all gone way too soft. If I can't be a guy on a podcast with two beautiful women and play this and no one think anything, like, people need to get over themselves.
That's my friend, everyone. He's my friend. I'm claiming him as my friend.
Someone has to.
Someone has to. And Patrick. Patrick O'Dowd hasn't done anything for too long. Patrick had that cross to bear. 18 years.
It feels like 18. It's really like 16 or 15. I don't know.
I don't
know. It hurts.
But yes, we do have a game of musical chairs that we definitely do have to do. I'm a fighting champ. So any challenge that comes out, I have to accept. I'm the John Cena of musical chairs. Open challenge. I don't know. Yeah, and you can't see me.
They can't see any of us.
They can't see any of us.
Yeah, they can't
we
really
can see
any.
Each other. They can't see us.
Can't see each other. And yeah, definitely check out Brittany's, you know, all her social media pages. You post wonderful pictures. You know, you are really just stylish and cool and who I hope to be when I grow up.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Yeah, Greg's doing the math. I know. Anyway,
I didn't need to do the math. That was just the I'm doing the math signal.
Yes. Because he's not good at math.
I know, but too much. Yeah, I'm definitely great at math. I will have you know. I'm a mathlete. I'm great at math.
You didn't even know the ratings off the top of your head, okay? So
that's not math. That's reading. It's different. I'm not great at reading. That. I suck
all right,
at reading.
Then. I'm glad we've got that accomplished. But yeah, go ahead and check Brittany out on social media. And if you are in the Louisiana area, thank you for listening to the show. I'm not sure how you found it, but you should go check out Elevate. Go to their website and social media pages for all of their latest information on upcoming shows. Wherever you live, go ahead and go to your local promotions. Support your local wrestling. It's good for the economy. It's good for pro wrestling. And it will be good for you. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I can't like medically say it's going to be beneficial for your health, but you know, I have a good feeling that it's going to be great for you, for your health. Greg, you are at Chairshot Greg on Twitter. You can also follow the Chairshot at thechairshot.com on Twitter, thechairshot.com for all your latest news on professional wrestling analysis. Check out the other podcasts. Don't forget to use the hashtag. Use your head on social media. I've been forgetting that forever. But hey, it's what the chair shot's all about. Use your head.
Chairshot.com. Always use your head.
I promise it won't hurt. Again, not a medical professional, so I can't tell you things for sure, but it's very likely it won't hurt if you think with your head. Just putting it out there. Just an idea for you guys. I am not on social media. Other than Facebook, because I'm old, I'm not on Twitter. So follow everybody else. I will be lurking in the background at Twitter pages because I do that sometimes.
Especially I'll post for her.
Yes. You can also, Greg is kind of my by proxy, almost in a legal sense. I have to get those legal documents written, but
I'm not going to sign them. I won't sign.
You will sign.
I won't. You can't make me. You can't make me sign anything.
and you will post on my behalf. But you can use the hashtag hashtag Miranda if you ever want to post something about me on social media. That's how I track it. Maybe one day I'll get on Twitter. Maybe I won't. Who knows?
Don't do it. We're all shaking our heads. No, we're like, don't do it. Don't do it. We don't want to see you go down that road. We just don't.
It's a bad road, but thank you for everyone listening this week. Thank you again to Brittany for being my first official invited guest. Thank you, Greg, for always being a fantastic co-host. Thank you, everyone who's listening. Thank you to all the fans out there. And yeah, stay cool. It's hot out there. Be classy. Be you.
ChairShot.com. Always use your head.